how to get what you really, really want. And the first question we have to ask is, what do you want? Maybe you think that's an easy question to answer, but I don't think it is at all. In fact, it's a very tricky question. It's tricky because of this. We have all gotten in the past what we thought we wanted, only to discover later it's not what we wanted. I remember one time Kathy and I had to go buy a car. And we were going to dealership, you know. And was walking in, and salesman would come up to us, and they'd start asking us questions, and then we'd shake our head, no, we want this, we want that. And then finally, one of the salesmen said this to one of the other salesmen: these folks know exactly what they want, which is code for leave them alone, they know what they want, and they'll pick it out, and then we'll help them buy it. Well, on the inside, I hear that conversation, and on the inside, I'm saying, no, you don't understand. I have no clue what I want. We pick something out. 6 weeks later, we're wishing, we should have bought that other one. It's tricky. Sometimes you can be so sure, this is what I want, only later to say, what was I thinking? You know, it's just so tricky. Maybe a better question is, and Pastor Justin preached on this last week, is simply this. First of all, rather than trying to answer what do you want, a better question is, what do I value? Or what is really, really important in my life? Because lurking in the shadows of what you want is what you value. And sometimes, if you get what you want or what you think you want, and it does not line up with your values, that creates a lack of peace in our heart and in our life. So literally, we're saying this, we will never get what we really want until we back up and discover what it is we really value, because knowing our values is a directional compass to what we really, really want. In fact, let's say it like this. Let's kind of put it in an equation. When your wants are the same as your values, that equals lasting satisfaction. That's where satisfaction comes from. Satisfaction doesn't come because you discover the latest, greatest thing that somebody's marketing. Satisfaction comes from when you finally get your wants in line and in harmony and in alignment with your values, because then you are being you. You know who you are, and you're living it, and you feel good about it. Well, last week, we said that maybe we should just try to jot down what we want, but that's complicated, because what we naturally want is often in conflict with what we ultimately value or what we ultimately want. And we're all the same way. We're all in the same club. We all, like a fish out of water, flop around on the deck trying to find our way through life and trying to discover what it is what we really want. And we're just kind of going off our natural inclinations rather than touching those eternal and ultimate wants in our lives. It's kind of like this, raising kids. Raising kids is the most rewarding thing you'll ever do, and it is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. Can I get an amen in the house? And you won't be lying. Sometimes there's lying amens in the house of God, amen. But that is a truthful one. And here's the deal. With kids, we want them to turn out so good, right? We just want them, I just want them to turn out so good. And sometimes as parents, we step over into this realm of trying to dictate results with our kids. How many of you know that is just a crazy adventure? It's like, I'm going to make you, you're going to eat this and you're going to like it. Did that ever work? Did your mother ever cram something in your mouth and say, you're going to eat this and you're going to love it? Did she ever do that? And then you say, I love it. Never. My mother always tried to get me to eat hominy. So you're going to eat this, David Dean? Oh, I just told y'all my middle name. Goodness gracious. Kept that secret for 30 years. You're going to eat this and you're going to like it? No, you're not. Because here's the deal. When it comes to raising kids, it is much better to instill values in them than it is to dictate results. Because here's the deal. If you can get the right values in your kids, you won't have to lie awake at night worrying about the results as much. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Everybody knows that. But it just simply means this. Spend your time rather than manipulating and driving and coercing and trying to trick and playing pop psychology with your kids to get them to do a certain thing. Why don't you instead just make sure you get them grounded in some really great values? And then watch how those, come on, those values become a compass for them in life. You say, you don't know my kid. I don't, but I know the Word of God. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse number 6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Now, I understand life happens. Sometimes it gets weird, and sometimes you wonder, will they ever come back to it? But here's the deal. It is a much better way to raise children, to instill values, than to try to dictate results. And so that kind of works right here with us, because as children are, we are, which means our natural wants and natural inclinations play such a dominant role in our life. It just is always there. Like, I want this, I want him, I want her, I want that, I want this. And we get in that, and the further we get down that road, the more we obsess over it, because we think, if I can just get this, if I can just get her, if I can just get him, if I can just get that, or if I can just get this job, then I will be happy and everything will be perfect. And we know it just doesn't work like that. And one of the big things is because we're doing all of our searching based on natural inclinations and not what we ultimately value. And we could find ourselves way off out there in I want world rather than moving into a place that spiritually, mentally, and emotionally feels right for us. You see, we will just never get what we really want until we drill down, find out what it is that we value. Values is the key and the directional compass for you and your child to finally get what they really want, what they ultimately want. So our big idea is simply this. I know it's just more review, but we need it. What we naturally want is often in conflict with what we ultimately value. So in order to figure out what we really want, we have to figure out what we value. And that's what this message is today. That's my job today, is to take you on this journey on how do you really discover what you value. We know that Paul the Apostle struggled with this. And if Paul struggled with it, we're going to struggle with it. He wrote in Romans 7:15, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. That's just Paul's very, professional way of saying to you and I am completely confused about what goes on in this life inside of me. You know, I hear people all the time say, you know, I'm looking for that person that gets me. I'm like, are you serious? You don't get yourself, amen? No one gets themselves. You can't figure you out. How are you going to figure anybody else out? Let's take the pressure off one another. Give me an amen in the house. And so what we need to do is find something that will help us make sure that our wants are not in out of sync with our values. We want to make sure that our wants are the same things as our values. Listen. It's just like your car. It's, you know, you got an 8-cylinder and it's firing on 5 or 6 and it's sputtering and puffing and it's just crazy. And all of a sudden you get new plugs, you get it tuned up, you get everything right on it. You get the injectors clean, all of a sudden it starts purring like a kitten. And that's because if you've ever heard a kitten, never mind. Had a kitten under the hood of my car one time. It did not purr, but that's a different story. Completely different story. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, that's it. Listen to this car. Oh, man, look at that tachometer. Oh, boy, I'm just going. Why? You all of a sudden figured something out. Now it's working the way it's supposed to work. And that's the way you are. And sermons is supposed to help you figure something out. What I want you to figure out today is, what do you value? What do you really, really value? Now, how many of you ever heard of a book back in 1989? You'd have to be, you know, at least 29 years of age or older to even remember it. But Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. How many's ever read that book? A good number of you have. I recommend the book. And there's something in that book I want to bring into the sermon today, okay? On page 96 of the original book, and if you get a new one, it's going to be on page 103. Stephen Covey challenges you to do this. In your mind's eye, see yourself going to the funeral of a loved one. Picture yourself driving to the funeral parlor and getting out. You walk in. First thing you notice is the flowers, soft organ music. You see the faces of friends and family as you pass along the way. You feel the shared sorrow of their loss and their joy of having known that radiates from the hearts of the people that are there. You just sense all of this. So you walk down to the front, pay your respects to the deceased in the front of the room. You look inside the casket. And suddenly you come face to face with yourself. This is your funeral. 3 years later from today. All of these people in this room have come to honor you, to express feelings of love and appreciation for your life. So as you are shocked over this, you go back and take a seat at your own funeral. You go back and you wait for the funeral to begin, and as you do so, you look at the program that you were handed as you came in, and you see there are four speakers that are going to be speaking on your behalf. First speaker is somebody from your family, going to tell everything, every secret you ever had. Second one's going to be from a friend. And the third one is somebody from your profession. And the fourth one is going to be somebody from your church or perhaps community organization that you are a part of. Now, Stephen says, think deeply. What would you like each of these people to say about your life? What would you like for them to say if you're a husband? What kind of husband are you? What kind of wife are you? What kind of father? What kind of mother? What would you like for them to say about what kind of a son or a daughter or a friend that you were, or a work associate? What would you like for them to say about your work ethic or the difference that you made at your job or whatever it is? What is it that comes out of their mouths as you listen to them talk to you? And what is it, more importantly, would you like them to say? Would you like them to speak on your character, your achievements, or your contributions? What is it you want the people to remember you for? It's huge. What difference would you like to have made in the people that are sitting in the room as you look around and you see everybody that you know and recognize, and you wonder, what kind of impact did I make in their lives? Then Stephen Covey did something that I don't like it when authors do, but he said, would you please, before you read any more, close the book and take a few minutes to jot down a few impressions. Well, first of all, I never do that. I say, yeah, whatever, and I just keep on reading. Because the goal of reading a book is finish the book. But since then, I have stopped and thought about it and pondered, and I hope that you will do the same thing. Now, here's the deal. We're talking about discovering your values. He said this, if you carefully consider what you wanted to be said of you in a funeral experience, you will find your definition of success in your life. You will discover what is really, really important. You will discover your values. And now you've got a huge 50% of the equation of my wants lining up with my values, which can give me lasting satisfaction. Now, if you were to take that little exercise and write down five or six things, please don't write down 68. You know, nobody's that good, not even you. Can I get an amen? But if you were to write down some things, maybe family, honesty, open-mindedness, peacemaker, respect people, love for God or encourager, help in the community, sacrificed his life, whatever, you could just write down maybe five, six, seven things that is the most important to you. And here's what happens. When you narrow those values down to just a handful, they become a perimeter around your behavior. It becomes a watchman for your conscience. And as you set those sentries up around your life of honesty or integrity or whatever, they become the watchman. And when it comes to decision time, it becomes very easy for you to say, I don't want to violate my values. It's so much better to say, I'd rather violate my natural desires than to violate my ultimate values. And here's the deal. As a Christian, another little wrinkle is, once you discover what your values is, now let's ask another question. What are God's values? Specifically, what is God's value for you? Now think about this. What would happen? Come on, let's just dream a minute. What would happen if you got your wants lined up with your values, lined up with God's values, all of a sudden, listen, life becomes very clear. And confusion begins to leave. You now know who you are. You now know what you want. You now know where you're going. And you know what you feel, that thing right now that you feel flooding into your soul? That's called the peace of God. I want it. You want it too. All right? And here's some good news. You may actually discover, once you find out what your values are, and then you find out what God's values are, you might actually discover. You may have this wow moment when you say, wow, my values are really very closely aligned to God's values. Wouldn't that be a great thing to see that happen? It may be closer to that than you ever imagined. The reason why you couldn't imagine it is because you're living all your life over here just, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want some of that, I want that. It's like life by cafeteria. And maybe you just think it's just awesome the day that the cafeteria started saying you could eat all you want of anything, you know, just don't want a little bit of that. A little bit of that fish, a little bit of that enchilada. Come on, give me some love in this house, amen. And when you kind of just get out of that world, get in this world over here, things begin to happen amazingly. So, now that we talked about you discovering your values, now let's talk about discovering God's values. Now, I'm going to put the first part of a scripture up. And it's in Galatians 5:22, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, what you're about to do, We're going to go with the scripture, and you are going to discover what a father wants for his kids. You know, when the disciples went to Jesus and said, would you teach us how to pray? What did he say? Okay, here's how to pray. Second word out of his mouth is what? Father. Our Father. You know what Jesus is trying to say to you? What he's trying to say to me is, if you've ever wanted something for your kids, then you're beginning to understand how much God loves you. And so he wants you to come. And as, you know, fathers don't want bad things for their kids. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've never had a father come up to me and say, you know, I really hope my child turns into a delinquent someday. I've never had that. Right? Sometimes people look at God. Come on, I'm here to give God a high five today. Sometimes people look at God as this guy that just wants to take all your fun away and take all the zest out of life and just shrink you up like a prune. That's not the God we serve. I mean, if that was the case, then this scripture would read like this. The fruit of the Spirit is hate, sorrow, fear, frustration, meaninglessness, badness. I don't know if that's a word. Is that badness? Is that a word? Faithlessness, unkindness, and slavery to all known appetites. Is there any father that wants those kind of values for their kids? No. Let's see what the Father says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Now, I know if you're sitting there, and especially if you're new to church, or maybe you're here and you're not even a Christian, and you're like, oh man, here you guys go. All y'all do is talk about love, joy, and peace in church. First of all, I'd like to say I'm so thankful that I'm able to preach today from the middle of the platform, because every sermon that has ever been preached in the history of ever is about don't do this, but do this. And I've been in some churches where the pulpit was in a corner where there's not a right and a left. And if I had to preach in that church, nothing would come out of my mouth. I would be so confused. Because really, this sermon, this series, don't do this, do that. And on this side is love, joy, and peace. And if you're living in this side, and you say, no, I want him, I want her, I want this, I want that, I need more of this, I want some more of that. If you're living in that world, you're looking over there, love, joy, and peace, and you're like, maybe it's just not cracked up. What I want is this. Let me just say this to you. Don't discount love, joy, and peace, because love, joy, and peace will fix every problem in your life. It will fix every problem in your life. Just try it on and see. But it doesn't stop there. But on this side is love, joy, and peace. Could you handle some of that? Forbearance, which means patience. God wants you to be patient. You know, some people say, my patience is wearing thin. Some of your patience was thin to start with. Come on, thicken your patience up a little bit. You need patience thickening exercise. We have a Monday night class for that, okay? Kindness. Your father wants you to be a kind person. It doesn't matter if life has gone great or life has not gone not so great. God wants you to be kind. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your lack of opportunities or the excess of opportunities, in the midst of, you know, whether you were raised in a good home environment or a bad home environment, or if you've had a bad marriage or a good marriage, God still wants you to be a kind person. God wants you to have that value. Got to hurry along. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Man. How many of you love dogs? How many of you own dogs? How many of you are gentle with your dogs? Why are we more gentle with dogs than we are with people? Okay, maybe I won't ask that. Maybe I'll just go on. But I'm a dog lover, you know. Kathy is a David lover. I'm a dog lover, okay. She puts up with the dogs because she likes them, but she just wonders why I get so crazy over them sometimes. But, you know, sometimes we just pour so much affection on animals and somehow fail to pour affection on people. God made the dogs. Cats were a mistake. I don't know how that happened. It just happened. But God made dogs, but he didn't make them for a substitute for you to love people. Oh, man, that's good preaching today, amen? Come on. God, this is the fact. God just wants you to be good. God just wants you to be kind. He just wants you to be gentle. And last of all, self-control. Now, what our Father is saying here is, I want you to have abundance. I just want you to have an abundance of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 24-hour news would go bankrupt if the world just started treating one another like this. Amen? There'll be a lot of people that report bad news. Just my wife refuses to watch news from Albuquerque anymore because she says it's just all bad. And it is. How many of you turn the news on? The best thing to come out of the Albuquerque stations is that station where the guy gives the weather, and on Friday he's sitting there holding his dogs. You know what I'm saying? That's the best thing that happens. And those old dogs just sit there and just chilling. It was awesome. And sometimes God just says, I just want you to have abundance. And you know what many Christians do? They come up with these weird theologies like, well, if God wants me to have the abundant life, he means he wants me to have a bunch of stuff over here. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a lot of the stuff over here. The trouble is when this stuff over here becomes your values and not just your toys. Got to get your values down right. Come on, give me an amen in the house, somebody. Then he went on. He continues in the book of Galatians. I've kind of preached too long, and I've got to wrap this up, but we're still going to finish. And God has given us instruction on his values. And then in verse 24, the very next verse, he turns around and says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So he is saying there are some things over here that you need to put up on the cross and nail it to the cross. It's just wiggling, trying to get off. No, don't do this. Yes, here. No, not the other hand. Yes. You know, you crucify it. Those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know what that is? God says, spend some time getting your life in alignment. Align your wants with your values, with God's values. And then he goes to Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, which means one of the values that God wants for you, including all those others, is he just wants you to follow Christ and stay in fellowship with him, stay in step with him. You know, Justin does something that I've never done, and I wish I'd have thought of it. He's been teaching us that some of the best ways to get new people to follow, to become a Christian, is to just encourage them to follow Christ, first of all. Jesus, most of the disciples didn't even know who Jesus was, didn't even believe who he was, but yet he just simply said, would you come and follow me? Because you know what turns people on to Jesus? Is when people decide to start following him, they start seeing who he is, they start seeing what he does, and it isn't long they fall in love with him, and the rest is history, amen? Instead of trying to cram religion down somebody's throat, why don't you just say, hey, there's a man named Jesus who teaches us, you know, do unto others you want them to do unto you. Is that a good thing? Well, yeah, of course. He teaches you to love your neighbors, you know, and put them before yourself. Is that a good thing? Could you follow somebody like that? Yes. You just put down what Jesus is and what he says and what he wants us to do and ask somebody, is that somebody you could follow? They'll probably say, well, yeah. So then come follow Jesus. Come on, follow Jesus. And before you know it, they follow Jesus. They do just like the disciples. Finally, Jesus comes to a point with Peter and says, who do people say I am, Jesus? Well, they say you're this, this, that. Who do you say I am, Peter? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My heavenly Father delivered it to you and revealed it to you. When did God deliver and reveal Jesus to Peter? Was not before he followed him, but after he followed him. Man. And sometimes, you know, we want to beat somebody up and say, come to church with me. The preacher gives an altar call, you're going to front. Oh, yeah, give me some of that. No. If you don't know, just follow him a little bit. You're going to follow something. Right? Everybody's going to follow something. Follow Jesus. And then, you know what Jesus is saying here? Why don't you just keep in step? Because when you keep in step with him, that's beautiful. And then finally, last of all, Galatians 5:26, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And a lot of people looked at that and said, what does that have anything to do with the fruit of the Spirit and all this other stuff? And here it is. Here it is. Here it is. When you live over here following your natural desires, it is in this world that jealousy abounds. It is in this world that conceit and anger and jealousy and envying. Oh, I thought I wanted this, but I see they've got that, and now I want that. You know what happens when you live over here? You can do the last thing that God tells us to do today, which is don't just want for yourself, but want for other people. Don't be jealous about what somebody else has. Don't be angry. In other words, come to a point where you want people around you to get what they really want too. And you can celebrate it. And if somebody gets what they really want over here, we should all be clapping and giving God glory. But instead, if we're living over here, thank you for that one hand clap. I really appreciate that. If we're over here and one person gets what they really want, it's like, whatever. And God says, you will quit being a selfish, conceited, envying person. When you get over here and get what you really want, then you're going to start wanting everybody around you to get what they really, really want. I end with this. When you discover what you really value, you will be less prone to settle for what you merely want. So don't settle, and don't be surprised if along the way that you don't settle, that you come across your Heavenly Father's will for your life. But you're going to have to come to church next week, and Justin will tell you about how to discover God's will for your life by discovering your values. Amen. Let's stand all over the place. Come on. How many of you just want to lift your hand? Don't close your eyes, but how many just want to lift your hand and say, got some work to do on aligning what I really want with my values and with God's eternal values. How many just lift your hand and say, that's me today. I got some work to do in that area. I think God's going to bless you on that journey. Don't settle for less. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to be here and to learn of your word. Thank you for these incredible people. I would rather stand here and preach to these people than any people on the planet, God. I thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to come together and to hear your word and grow together as the family of God. We love you so much and give you praise. And everybody said, amen.